Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is January 30th, 2023. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by my 12-month readings. Because, like, guys, it's like tomorrow's the last day, and I still have a few slots. So grab them if you'd like. I have been doing a few, I've been really trying to make space for these. So only a few left. Go grab it. And then I don't know. I guess I'll tell you more once they're done. Kind of some trends I've been seeing in the readings. Obviously, I'm not going to share anyone's personal information, but more like universal pulses that seem to be happening. So it's very fascinating. Our quote of the day is, "Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you," by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yes. I cannot tell you the number of times, and of course this is like, you know, very nuanced, but the number of times I've like told people, I'm like, you know, your cause is great and the things you say, like you're saying are true, but man, like there's ways to say it that get people to listen, you know, and I think that is something a lot of people struggle with, and it leads to frustration. And anyways, so we only have 2 days left of tea because in February we are doing something a little different. We're taking a little bit of a tea break, but I did do a restock on Witch of Orleans, which if you had pre-ordered the second big batch, those have already been sent out. So those are on the way, and we are completely restocked. So this is basically a tea that embraces New Orleans and the king cake tradition that is marked by Joan of Arc. Every year, the Witch of Orleans is celebrated with all the king cake that you can eat. Cinnamon, chicory, cream are the main elements of this tea. So the ingredients, which it's my personal formula, so no one knows it, but literally me. This tea is a black tea with chicory, cacao nibs, orange, cloves, dandelion root, cinnamon, natural cream flavor, which is vegan friendly. It's just made from like oil flavoring, similar to like extracts. Let's see. We're going to talk today about a dandelion root, which is in this lovely tea. This comes to us from marblecrowblog.com. The dandelion. Let's see. So when a dandelion sets seeds, its yellow flower turns into a nimbus of fluff. Pick a dandelion, make a wish, and give a good hard puff. The seeds will scatter, carrying your wishes with them. Similarly, if you have a bad habit you want to get rid of, blowing on a dandelion will carry it away from you. They can also carry your affections to a distant loved one. Dandelion puffs are also used in love divination. If you think of your beloved and blow on one, it will show you how loved you are. If the seeds completely disperse, your beloved is infatuated with you. If the seeds remain, they have some reservations. After you blow on a dandelion puff, watch the direction that the seeds go. It will show you where to seek fortune. You can hold a dandelion under your chin. If it shines yellow, you'll be rich someday. A similar belief holds that the brighter the yellow glow, the kinder you are. In the Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs by Scott Cunningham, he writes that dandelion root tea will help with divination and prophetic dreams. Brewing dandelion root tea and leaving a cup of it by your bedside is said to call to the spirits. Ah, which I love. Okay, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from thedailybeast.com. Let's see. New congresswoman fights rival over witchcraft accusation. Oh, gosh. What? This was written by Zachary Petrizzo. Let's see what they say. Rep. Anna Paulina Luna, great name, oh my gosh, came to Congress on her first day in office ready to do battle, not just with Democrats, oh, but also with her own party. You know what? Not cool name. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's still a cool name. As she became one of the 20 Republicans to vote against electing Kevin McCarthy Speaker. But back home in her conservative Florida district, Luna is waging a very different kind of war, a legal fight with political enemies who say she is a literal witch. Oh my gosh. You know, I may not agree with this person, but like, it's so annoying when like white men in power do the thing white men in power have always done and call someone they don't like a witch. Ugh. A letter obtained by the Daily Beast reveals that the Florida Republican retained the high-powered law firm Holland & Knight. Also a good name. What are these names? And it's Knight with a K. I think that's cool. Oh gosh, I hope they're not weird. I don't want to get in trouble because I think it's a cool name. To go after a would-be rival who leveled a series of outlandish allegations against Luna on the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show in the fall. The letter demands that Matt Tito, a pal of Roger Stone, who mulled challenging Luna in a primary, apologize on video for his accusations, which include claims that Luna was fired from a job and she had a sexual liaison with Rep. Matt Gaetz. Yeah, come on. Come on. Here's the thing I will say, though. Like, it's really funny. Like, I love people, like, will say, like, oh, politics have gotten so outlandish and stuff. Did you know that, like, I forget which election it was, but the two men who were, like, running for president, one of them put in the paper that the other had died because they were like, if people think he's dead, they won't vote for him. So I'm just saying, like, the pettiness is not new, and calling someone a witch because you think it'll help your campaign also feels very historically accurate. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. We don't actually change. We don't change. We just repeat the same stuff over and over again until humanity turns into dust. That's really what it seems like. Okay, witches. What a wild ride that one was. I am going to throw this over to our moon correspondent for a little bit of a palate cleanser, and then we will be back.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, January 30th. The waxing gibbous moon moves from the lush fields of Taurus to the buzzing chat rooms of Gemini today. Here, the moon trines Pluto and squares Venus. We're facing some difficult truths about our loved ones, and we may find ourselves needing to confront them. It's important to remember that we all have our secrets. These secrets are a way for us to protect ourselves. Vulnerability does not come easily. When you uncover something a loved one is hiding, try thinking about the situation that encouraged them to hide it in the first place. If you approach your loved one with empathy, it'll inspire them to be more open with you in the future. Your daily moon mantra is, "What makes you vulnerable makes you beautiful." This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Hi, witches. It's me. I did want to share that every December and January, I do 12-month yearly readings. Basically, it is a reading that I do over audio that I email to you, and I go over what your year is going to look like. I give you ideas for what to write down in your planner, how to make hard times a little softer, what I think you can avoid, and what I think you're just going to have to muscle through. And I share good things, and as well as which months you can prep for harder months or ways you can celebrate things. And I absolutely love these readings. I have people who get the readings every year, and nothing makes me happier when I get like an email in August that was like, oh my gosh, your reading was spot on all year, and it just makes my day. So I only offered these in December and January. So if you want to check that out, go to tanyabrown.schedulista.com or go to witchpod.com if you want to schedule that. I stop offering them after January. All right. We have a question from one of our listeners, and we do have a trigger warning for pet loss. This is from Ashley Schaefer from our Facebook group. Ashley writes, I have a cat who is well on her way. Before we take her to the clinic, we are spending intimate time with her. Is there anything witchy you guys have done in similar circumstances? Any special ceremonies you have done? I'm curious, as I'd like to honor her now and keep my sweet girl comfortable, sharing a couple of pictures of my little angel too as a little honorable post. Her name is Paris, but we call her Chicken because she chirps and her favorite thing in the world is food. We have been together for 12 years. So I'm going to read some responses. We're going to give some ideas. I will say, I think one of my favorite things I ever read was Eliza Schlesinger. She's a comedian. And she had her dog Blanche, who would go with her to shows. And she'd come on stage and the audiences would get to meet her and people would give her little gifts. And it was really just a cute thing. Well, Blanche, you know, died. And Eliza was talking about how she kind of handled it. And I really liked what she had done. She didn't feel there was much of a purpose to hang on to her things, like her toys and supplies, even though I don't know if she knew she was going to get a new dog at that point. But you would think, I guess the new dog is going to get, you know, their own stuff. So she didn't feel the need to hold on to it. So what she did, I thought was really neat. She threw kind of a celebration of life for Blanche. And everyone, all of her friends and family who knew Blanche, came over. And they basically could take something of hers, a toy, a dish, something of hers, and then either use it to remember her or give it to their own pet. So it's like her things are able to live on in a really useful, meaningful way and wasn't just tossed. And I really liked that. I thought that was very nice. Of course, it's been a while since I heard her talk about it, so I might be missing a few little details, but I thought that was really nice. Abby says, I wish I had kept a snag of fur when we had my gorgeous boy put to sleep. I do have one of his whiskers that I found in the carpet after. Much peace for you. It is a hard time. Kat says, I hope you're doing okay. Sorry, no advice to give, but my heart hurts for you. I also really like the idea of they have those things where you can have like maybe their ashes or their hair turned into a diamond. I've always thought that was pretty cool. And then it can be any color, so you can get a color that matches them and maybe wear it. You know, I like that idea. But we do have – actually, I am going to mark this thread as featured on air. So anyone listening, if you have advice for Ashley, you can hop on over. But we do have a little ritual, and this is from learnreligions.com, Hold a Pet Farewell Ritual, written by Patty Wingington. This is a ritual that you can hold after a pet has passed away. Obviously, you may need to make adjustments based on the sort of pet you had, the manner of their death, and so forth, but you can use this ritual as a general template. You can also turn this into a group ritual if the pet was one who belonged to the entire family. You will need salt, a pink candle, incense of your choice, water, a stone to represent your pet, a stone to represent yourself, 4 matching crystals, and a small tray, plate, or dish. So first you want to arrange everything. Arrange the salt, incense, candle, and water to represent the 4 elements in any manner you traditionally see fit. Place one of your 4 matching crystals with each. Light the incense in the candle. Place the stones representing you and your pet in the dish in the center of your work area or altar. Take a moment to meditate quietly and focus on the 2 stones in the center. One is you. One is your pet. They should be side by side, touching each other as you and your pet touched each other in life. Take both the stones in your hands and hold them tightly. As you do, remember the positive and happy memories of your time together. You can say a prayer. So you can pass the stone over the salt and say, with the energies of earth, I am with you in spirit. Your memory will always remain with me. Pass the stone over the incense and say, with the energies of air, I am with you in spirit. Your memory will always remain with me. Pass the stone over the candle and say, with the energies of fire, I am with you in spirit. Your memory will always remain with me. And then pass the stone over the water and say, with the energies of water, I am with you in spirit. Your memory will always remain with me. Tell your pet how much you'll miss him. Place the two stones back into the dish in the center of your work area. Take each of the four matching crystals and add them to the dish as well. And as you do, tell your pet how much you'll miss them, how thankful you were allowed to be a part of their lives, if you have favorite memories, or if you have family members who want to add something and they can. So, you know, just anything you want to say, you know. If you had to euthanize your pet, make sure you tell them why you made that decision so that they understand how difficult it was. This is a good time to verbalize how you feel. Admitting it might have been selfish to prolong their suffering or just anything you feel like they would need to know. Close your eyes and reflect once more on how different your life was because of them. If you need to cry, scream, yell, now is a good time to do it. Don't hold back. Finally, take the dish with all the stones in it and pass it to everyone involved in the ritual. Allow each person their moment to feel the energy of you and your pet together in the stones. And then you can conclude your ritual how you typically would within your tradition or your typical setup. That was absolutely beautiful. Patty really knocked it out of the park. I'm a big fan of Patty. Patty seemed to be the main contributor. I think this used to be called about.com, but now it's called learnreligions.com. But Patty was always a great contributor. She's written a book, so I'm a big supporter of her, and I recommend you be as well. And I will link this in our link tree, so if you want to revisit it or bookmark it or something like that, you can. Oh my gosh. I didn't think that was going to hit me as hard as it did. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to Andrea of Appalachia. Andrea, you glowing wise seer. Lauren Wilson. Lauren, you fancy sweet wendigo. Stephanie Young. Stephanie, you insidious, playful fire dragon. And finally, Elise S. Elise, you wicked, brilliant newborn baby. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really, really appreciate it. And before we leave, we have a card pull. Our card today is Initiation from the Metaphysical Cannabis Oracle. Let's see. So the way this deck is set up is that sometimes they have, it's one of the decks where they have the name of the card and then the, keyword of the card. And I think I sometimes get those mixed up. So then I can't actually find the card that I'm looking for in the book. Oh, here we go. So this card appears when you need to flip your perspective, stand on your head, invert, simply get upside down, and then look at the present moment. Are you noticing things you haven't seen before? You are independent, and sometimes that means following your heart despite what other people think of you. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Quick note, don't forget 12-month readings today and tomorrow are the last day for a whole year, so check it out. And that's it. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath. And have a great day.
I had an abortion when I was 15 years old in my home state of Arizona in 1994. It was not a decision that I made lightly, but I have never for one moment doubted that it was the right decision for me. But so much has changed in Arizona and many other states since then. If I were that same 15-year-old in Arizona today, legally, I would have to get parental consent. I would be forced to undergo a medically unnecessary ultrasound, go to a state-mandated in-person counseling session designed solely to shame me into changing my mind, and then take a state-mandated 24-hour time out to make sure I really know what I wanted. And finally, I would be forced to give the state a reason why. Well, here is mine. It is my body, not the state's. Women and their doctors are the ones that are in the best position to make informed decisions about what is best for them. No one else. No bill that criminalizes abortion will stop anyone from making this incredibly painful decision. These bans will not stop abortion from happening, but they will drive women and girls and people into the shadows, which is what this has always been about, shaming and controlling women's bodies. In the week after I shared my story on my show, women were coming up to me in the street, in the supermarket, at my gym, with tears in their eyes, thanking me for my bravery. But the word brave didn't sit right with me. Why is it brave to speak to an experience that millions of people around the world throughout history have gone through? And then I realized it is considered brave because as women, we have been taught to feel shame about our bodies since birth. I am so sad that we have to sit here in front of a row of politicians and give deeply personal statements because the why doesn't matter. It should not matter. I am a human being that deserves autonomy in this country that calls itself free, and choices that a human being makes about their own bodies should not be legislated by strangers who can't possibly know or understand each individual's circumstances or beliefs. I'm here today to help destigmatize a legitimate medical procedure and continue to encourage women not to allow themselves to be shamed for their choices. And finally, I am here today for my two little girls, Birdie and Cricket. My dream for them is that they will live in a world in which women are truly equal with complete control over their own reproductive health. That is the dream I hold for all people, regardless of their privilege or parents or what state they live in. That dream is slipping further and further from reality with every ban passed. I hope that you, our elected leaders, can help us reverse the tide. Thank you. I look forward to today's discussion.